Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? It is In This League right here on Sports Grid, the daily edition with Bogman Welsh. It's us. Hello. Thank you for tuning in. Bogman, how'd you enjoy that KBO action?
Yeah, you know, it was great. It was really good. KBO
honest.
Has a lot of impressive players, and I saw a lot of bat flips.
Be truthful.
I didn't watch
them. You didn't watch
I meant to. I swear to God, I meant to. But I was doing my chapters for Black Book last night, and it's just like I completely forgot. And then when I was done with my chapters with Black Book around, like, you know, just I couldn't write anymore. You know, you get into that foggy headspace. You're like, all right, I've had enough of this. It was like 11 midnight, and I was like, no sports. Let's go see what's on Netflix. And I watched Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up special. So, yeah, I know you hate Seinfeld.
You watch Seinfeld special over...
Why is it that you hate Seinfeld?
I would rather watch... I was watching the Twitch feeds of KBO, which didn't have the ESPN stuff on it, because you, like...
Did you see the one... Was it DDR that tweeted it out with all five games?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was that type of stuff. Like, okay. But it wasn't the mix one. It was, like, each game was being broadcast on Twitch, and it was full-on, like... all in Korean. The announcers are Korean. They were using kilometers and not miles per hour. And I would watch that 9 out of 9 times, 10 out of 10 times, 100 out of 100 times over watching Jerry Seinfeld special.
I mean, I don't despise Jerry Seinfeld the way you do.
It's not funny. He's not funny. What's the deal?
I think that Jerry Seinfeld is, like, some of the stuff he said was pretty funny. He's a great writer. I can tell you, like, the some of the jokes that he wrote were really smart. But he's not relatable. You know, he's had millions and millions of dollars for many, many years. Like, how is he relatable? Like, you know, it's almost like the old bit they did in Funny People where it's like, yeah, you have a plane, but you're afraid to fly it. So you take it through drive-thrus and stuff because you're so rich. Like, that's what he is, you know. Where it's like, yeah, don't you hate it when your butler doesn't show up for work because he's sick? You know, like stuff like that. Like, he didn't say that, but that's what you expect to come out of his mouth.
Yeah, and that's what he does.
So,
like, hey, comedians in $100,000 cars drinking coffee. And it's just like, it's not, I don't know.
Well, he did mention it at the start because it is weird. He's like, you know, you guys all know me. You probably grew up with me, a lot of you people. And, you know, I could literally be anywhere right now. But instead of being anywhere, I'm hacking out another hour for you guys. He's like, that's just where I am. So,
yeah, well, wow. Lucky, Jerry. Thank you
he
for
is
gracing.
Very pompous.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's super pompous. And he's, I mean, and maybe that's part of what you can like about him, but he's like unapologetically pompous. Like, he's just a more self-aware Kardashian. That's what he is to me. Like, they are the most pompous, rich,
yeah.
Just they know that. And he's kind of the same way, but he just has he has the comedian humor in him. But
right.
He's still not relatable at all.
No, he's not relatable at all. I do really love his writing style, though.
But I think, like, that's also what happened with Chappelle, though, Bugs. Like Chappelle is still good, and he still pulls out. The last special he did was fantastic. The other, like, two that he had were not that great. Like, he's moved away from relatability. Like, when he did Killing Me Softly, he was relatable, he was hilarious, he was a human, and then he's moved into the, and he jokes about it. And it's like, once a comedian starts getting into that place where they're like, man, I got so much money, and it's just like, all right, like, you know, when the humor becomes about that far in and not relating, it's tough. Jerry Seinfeld also isn't really funny. So take not being relatable and not being like a clever, like, edgy, good comedian like Dave Chappelle, and then all I want to do is watch Korean baseball on Twitch.
Yeah. I would have preferred video baseball. I really would have. We've been in this for what, 45 days now, something? And I flat out forgot there was going to be sports on TV after I was done writing up my stuff. Like, I just, it didn't even pop in my brain. I was just like, another day of seeing what's on Netflix and YouTube and all this crap. So, but you're
like,
right.
I think
about,
it was like soccer though. Box, I think it was kind of like soccer. Like, everybody says that they're into it, and everybody says that they're, you know, everybody likes it, and everyone's going to watch it. And then when push came to shove, like, some people did. Like, I watched some. I didn't watch all of it. I had it on. There was a rain delay, of course. Of course there was a rain delay.
I forgot about rain delays.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Those still happen,
I
and they happened the first one.
I saw there was a delay in one of the parks because there was a fire in the building next to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it ended up playing. That was like the one I wanted to see because our backhoe guy, whatever
yeah,
his name,
he
backhoe.
Had a bomb too.
Oh, did he? Backhoe. I didn't even see because that was the one he was delayed in, and they were delayed for like over an hour, and then I finally was like, I can't do this anymore. But I watched about an hour, and I had a couple of the games up on the Korean Twitch streams, and then I watched the ESPN broadcast, which it had its moments because who the hell were the two dudes doing it?
Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez.
They had timing
Perez's
issues.
Voice, man. Eduardo Perez's voice, like, he sounds like a frog. I don't know what his
voice way deeper than mine, but this is as deep as I can get it with doing this frog voice talking through my throat.
I don't know how people get into that type of speaking. I don't know.
I don't know. But he also, they
it's
had,
like, it's, have you ever heard people that just talk, they speak incorrectly, like either through their nose or through their throat, you know, like not through their mouth. I never understood it. It weirds me out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't not know, a subject we put on the sheet. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what to tell you about that. Like, sure.
Like, nope.
Voices are annoying and stuff like that, but like, there's got to be.
Yeah, well, you're so jaded. You're over there like, yeah, I hate it when people speak too, especially Jerry Seinfeld.
I mean, I just don't. Yeah, especially Jerry Seinfeld. I just don't have to say, like, for like people that have like overtly ridiculous voices. Like, I just assume they know their voice is absolutely ridiculous and that they physically can't do something about it. Like, so I just don't. I don't get harped on it because I don't assume that they're doing it on purpose. But like, if you talk like a frog, and
well,
you know,
I know they're not doing it on purpose. It's just, it's still. Ugh,
yeah, I suppose. But they had these weird like internet timing issues, where they would just like real weird spacing, and it seemed like Ravitch was on. He was on like a good connection where Perez wasn't, and he would just be like talking over him, and then they'd all stop. And but yeah, the baseball was it was interesting. The ESPN coverage was obviously easier to consume, especially compared to those the Korean streams, just because, like I said, they're using I literally at one point had to type in, like, what is 141 kilometers, you know, or whatever, to miles per hour. And I was like, okay, this dude's throwing 89. I'm like, ooh, smoke. And a lot of curveballs, you know, a lot of twisted torsos in swings and throwing. And I saw a couple homers.
Did you see the homer where the guy hit it and it was like Fisk, and he was like, it was right down the line, and he was like leaning it. And then they're like, and it's a foul ball. And then he starts, well, no, it's a home run. Oh, look at that. And it was because there's no crowd out there to react.
No,
that you just kind of don't know what it is.
No, I saw Kim's homer, which was like an opposite field. It just floated out to the other field. And then there was one dude, I don't remember his name, and I thought he was an American player by how his swing was, but he wasn't. He was a Korean player, and he looked like Adam Dunn or something like that when he hit the bomb. He looked big, and literally clicked over, and he just crushed this bomb to like right center. And I was like, all right. I'm like, he really got into that one.
That dude who really pimped his bat flip.
There
was
were a couple.
That guy?
Well, I think he had a pretty big pimp because he like had his bat down and he watched the homer like pretty intensely. And listen, there were some great bat flip moments. You know, guys bat flipping off of like lineouts. That's always fantastic to watch. I loved it. There was a couple of the U.S. players. There's one guy. I'm now forgetting his name. Rapinski or something. We'll probably talk about it on the baseball pod, but. He was a U.S. player. He had a ton of movement. He was throwing like 92. He was hitting.
Is that
but
the Rychimski or whatever?
Yeah,
the guy
Rychimski. He looked really good to start off. And, you know, one takeaway was the guy we had Dan Kurtz on, who runs MyKBO. And we had a really fun interview with him. We actually set a DraftKings lineup for KBO.
Yeah, we did.
And one of our listeners hit me up. He's like, yo, I used your lineup in three games. And I was like, oh, boy, okay. And he won. He won, like, nice. I think he put like $25 in. He won like $57 on the lineups that we set with Dan Kurtz. But we talked about in the episode, we kind of talked about the guys with the best skill sets and then the overall players. And he had identified, I'm going to have to pull up the sheet now, the pitcher who I watched a decent amount of. He said was like the best player in the league.
Some bum guy, by the way. That's what his name sounds like. It sounds like Not Some Bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we were both ready to make that joke yesterday, but out of respect, we did not. But he hit a bomb yesterday. Our backhoe guy hit a bomb yesterday. Kim hit a bomb. I think On had a couple of RBI, and Straley and Kingham did pretty good. So, our DFS lineup played pretty well.
But the pitcher, the Hyun Young Yang, American from the Kia Tigers. What I thought was interesting about him was because he was the guy that Dan had identified as a player that was probably going to play in the U.S. next year. And he was kind of like seen as the best player there. And he really wasn't super impressive, like watching him. Like, he had a nice curveball. He reminded me of like less stuff Kikuchi. And I just thought it was interesting. And he also looked like a bank teller, you know, like he was wearing like his glasses on the mound. And there's a lot of that. A lot of guys just wearing their prescription glasses, which looked really interesting. It looked like a softball game. But Yang, who is seen as one of the better players and is apparently going to be posted, he plays for the Kia Tigers. He was okay. I think he ended up taking the loss. I know he gave up 3 runs. He gave up a homer at one point. And he was just throwing this like low 70s curveball. I think he was throwing the fastball was sitting around like 89, roughly 89 to 87. I think he was cutting it, and he was probably throwing a couple other pitches, but it wasn't particularly deceptive. And I think I had kind of like built up, like as I was watching, I was like, oh, this is the guy. And I was like, is this the guy? And I was like, this isn't the guy, is it? And I kept like questioning myself if it was the guy that we were talking about. And it's definitely a stark difference of talent. Like, I think you build up, especially what we did with Dan, you know, you're building up like, oh, these are the best players in the league, and these are the super exciting players, and this, that, and the other thing. And then you start to watch, and you're like, well, I see some of the skill sets, and you're like, yeah, this guy isn't as good as what I know. So I think it gets a little bit overblown. But I am happy that you should go back and watch. Like, watching Yang, especially if he signs next year, I now have a pretty good idea of after watching, like, 3 innings of, you know, just mediocre stuff that was being commanded. It was commanded more than it was like blowing anyone away.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, look, we're just happy to get one of the 4 major sports back, regardless of where it's being played, right? So we'll take whatever. I mean, people are desperate for NASCAR to come back so they can set lineups, you know. Everyone's looking forward to, and in way, people like it way more than me, but people are really like looking forward to the MMA stuff this weekend. The UFC is going to have a big fight.
Is that happening this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's happening this weekend, or it might be next weekend, but it's soon. And I know NASCAR comes back on the 17th or whatever, too.
Another one of the dudes, because I want to ask you something on the KBO in a second, but another one of the dudes that I'm having a really hard time, as people could have heard from listening to the baseball podcast, of just getting the names together. And
right.
I was literally cross-referencing when a guy would come up, I'm like, who's this guy? And I'd have a box score up trying to like figure out who the players were. But something that stood out was there was one guy who I think played for Kia as well. I think the Kia Tigers. And I was like, holy crap. And I'm like, he had a tattoo, which was interesting, a Korean player with a tattoo. And I was like, look at the bat. He had huge bat speed. And then I was like, oh, it's Byung-ho Park. I'm like, that's who it is. I forgot like just everything about it. And I was like, who the hell is this? Because I was like, holy crap. He absolutely can unload on a pitch.
Was he the guy that kind of looked like Adam Dunn on that bomb yesterday? Didn't he hit a homer yesterday?
I don't know if he did, but I mean, because he's a little bit shorter. But man, he just like the bat speed was the most impressive of any player I saw. And it was just like, why isn't he there? And I was like, oh, yeah, he was in the U.S. and he just decided to come back. But he was impressive to watch. But let me ask you this, because you didn't watch. After watching some of the highlights that are out there, as we mentioned this, I'm watching Casey Bubba just posted, Jin Jun Woo's bat flip, which looked incredible off of, I don't know if it's a homer, but the bat just goes, bling.
Oh, my God. Yeah, where was the bat? Like, the camera's trying to follow it.
I guess. He played for the Lot Giants. The bat just completely disappears. It's awesome. After now not watching it but seeing the highlights and having a little bit of a conversation, do you think you're going to invest any more, or are you going to be real with yourself?
No, I just, I got to be honest, dude. I just like, you know, when you get in that writing zone or whatever, where you're like, I can knock out a bunch. That's where I was. So like nothing was going to distract me from getting some of that done last night. And that's why I just flat out forgot. So I'll have it on tonight. You know, I think the game starts the same time for us at 10, and, you know, I'll have it on and watch it. I mean, I'm excited. I that was not sarcasm or whatever that you know people thought. I wanted to watch it. I just, you know, flat out forgot. It's not like, you know, remembering opening day or the playoff game or something like that for basketball. I'm not going to be that invested, but I absolutely would have watched it if I would have remembered, and I just flat out forgot. And I was pissed at myself for forgetting, and then I went back and watched a bunch of highlights. That's how I know all these guys hit all these homers and stuff and had these awesome pimp bat flips. So, but people were talking about it. And I mean, I think the KBO is low double the list, right?
Is what?
Isn't it like AAA? Isn't it like the Japanese leagues and then AAA and then AA and then KBO, right? That's as far as skill, that's where you'd put it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, are you saying it's under AAA or above AAA?
No. I under AA, I would say.
Oh, you know, I did see.
Just because guys throw like 98 in AA and stuff.
Yeah, see, that's a good point. Well, that's a really good question, too, because I did see someone put a chart out, and there's just no way I'm going to be able to find it unless maybe if I put in KBO. And
I was trying to find it. No, I'll put that's AAA what I did. Twitter. Can't find it.
Yeah, because I just found it. Here it is. Master of the Twitter search. Here's what here's what Kyle Glasser from Baseball America says. So you have, this is from bottom to top. It goes low A, then you have the Taiwanese CPBL, then there's high A, then there's double A, then there's KBO, then there's triple A, and then there's the MPB, which is Japanese, and then MLB. So KBO is under double A. But you're right, there's not 95 mile an hour. I don't think a single person in there is throwing 95 unless I missed it with Kingdom or something like that. But there's not high flying stuff like that. But there are former major leaguers. Like I was going to say KBO might have been closer to maybe a triple A or a quad A type of thing. But Glasser signifies it under triple A. So what's going on with the Japanese baseball league? Let's get that baseball.
Well, they're just not ready to fire up yet. So.
I'm ready to do all this.
Yeah, I'm ready for whatever they want to give us.
I kind of wish we could have played that DraftKings one, but Arizona doesn't want us to have it. But we'll talk a little bit more KBO, and we're doing a mock draft over on the Baseball Podcast this coming week. So you got to make sure you guys, actually today, you guys are listening to this, so make sure you guys check it out. But don't go anywhere. When we come back, we got some more football to talk about right here on In This League on Sports Grid. Find us on Twitter at IsraelGalash, at Bogman Sports. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
In This League, we're back. You can find us on Twitter at IsraelGalash, at Bogman Sports. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. There's a lot of podcasts to be subscribed to for In This League. But this one's pretty easy to find if you want to catch us on the daily, essentially providing you at least an hour Monday through Sunday. I mean, we do 3 hours on the weekend, so unless you're consuming it all on Saturday, you could get a little bit of In This League in your life every single day of the week. You know, I want to talk about baseball real quick. We're going to talk about a little bit of baseball, some basketball, quarantine-y type of stuff, but I'm just seeing this ad on ESPN. And have you watched any of this Project 11 Alex Smith documentary?
No, that is where we got the pictures of his leg. And in that documentary, they show his surgery. Like they show when his leg is fully disgustingly open and putting the metal rod in it. next to the bone and stuff. Like, no thanks. I can't do that stuff. No. Like, I can watch an injury happen, you know, better than you can. I mean, I always cringe. I'm not, like, soulless. You know, you can't even look at it, though. You just can't handle
and
it.
And I've seen the Alex Smith leg thing at least 5 times now. It just, it'll be on Twitter, and I try to get away from it quick. Yeah, it looks like it was, like, burned, and it just looks
Yeah, it looks
horrific.
Like a frostbite victim, someone that, like, got lost in the woods, and, you know, their leg was stuck underneath something for a couple hours, and they had to saw it off, you know. That's exactly what it looks like. So, I'm honestly surprised by how bad the damage was, and he still has his leg. That's, like, miracle science stuff right there. So
I don't
want to watch that thing. Yeah, I don't want to watch it. It's going to be too gross. I can't handle those. Like, I can watch an injury, but I can't handle those surgery shows. You know what I mean? Where I remember going over to my cousin's house one time, and his wife was watching this, like, you know, something where they're cutting open this dude's stomach, and I could not handle it. I almost threw up.
It's just my problem with him. It's only about this leg thing. Like, that's all that you can do. Like, this isn't like Jordan, you know, there's not a 10-part series. Like, would Alex Smith have this if his leg didn't turn into mush? No.
No, he would.
So why would you want to watch this? It's got to be 80% about this. 80% is about this leg and the horrible pictures. And just, I wish this ad would go away. I wish it would stop. Baseball, more refuting in the ever circle. And I guess on the baseball podcast, I kind of said we'll stop talking about this. I suppose it's hard to, but there were a lot of rumors that were kind of going around that we had gone full circle to where people were saying there were some baseball players. I don't know if you saw this, but Trevor Plouffe came out. I don't know if it was a ruse, because Trevor Plouffe and Phil Hughes and a couple of those guys are, like, really good friends. I don't know if they were trying to screw with everybody or it was real, but Trevor Plouffe said this is what he heard, that there'd be, like, spring training 2 starting June 10th and they'd start up July 1st. Phil Hughes kind of said something about it, and then you had a lot of people running with it being like, well, if Plouffe said it, it's good to go. But I don't know, like, Phil Hughes is, like, a YouTube guy now, and I just didn't know if it was being screwed around. So there was all this stuff that was built up about spring training 2 in June, July 1st happening. And John Heyman on Tuesday came out and said the alleged July 1st start date of an MLB season would be wonderful. They'd love to begin then or close to then. But while there's hope, things are while there is hope, things aren't as certain as that. MLB is still hearing conflicting info from politicians and doctors, and health concerns remain the priority. So when I hear that, also it says MLB execs have not apprised the union of any particular proposed starting date for the season. And at this point, the sense is July 1st could be on the optimistic side. It isn't ruled out, but it isn't close to a likelihood. That's what Heyman says. So it sounds like there might be some discussions in circles of people saying this is what the hopeful plan is,
right?
But the likelihood of it not actually happening. But it's more of the baseball confusion, and it's actually really amazing how just one person has been able to get the ire of a sports, where this guy that Joe Doyle, MLB, the guy who writes for, like, Prospects Live and I guess has done something with Baseball America, he said the minor league season is closed from a source that led to all the way up to MILB having to issue a statement. Trevor Plouffe, a former player, says it. And we get back to now, you know, people feeling the need to comment on what nobody really truly knows.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I really despise about all this baseball stuff, is just the sheer confusion. Because if baseball came out and just said, hey, look, this is what our plan is right now, we may have to change it, but our plan is to play all 30 teams in Arizona starting on July 1st. We'll have our spring training start 3 weeks before that in June. And, you know, games start July 1st, July 4th, whatever, you know. But this is our plan. We may have to move it, so pay attention and stick with us. But that is what we want to do. That is our plan moving forward. And just move forward with it instead of leaking out these things. And I don't even know, that's the confusion too, the Welsh. I don't even know if baseball wants this stuff leaked out or if this is just what people are saying behind the scenes. It got to Trevor Plouffe. Plouffe took to Twitter, and now everyone's freaking out about it. So you can't tell, because there's so much weird, shadowy crappiness surrounded around Major League Baseball for so long that you just can't tell if this is real stuff or if this is them trying to, you know, get public reaction to that plan.
Yeah.
So I just don't like this whole thing, but that's what we got right now. So let's watch the KBO.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of an oddity that, you know, it's, like I said, one person can say something, it runs with it. Plouffe's a little bit different because he's a baseball player. So I you see why there's a little bit more likelihood to why it was being taken serious. And then, like I said, Phil Hughes said something about it. You know, these guys.
It also
are still,
sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, it does. But it does sound right. But it also seemed very like, I don't know.
Why,
like,
the hell would we be getting the news from Trevor Plouffe?
Yeah, you know? To that. Like, it seemed very calculated and like, wow, Trevor, you got all the info. Like, how did you, like, if he would have just said, hey, they're talking about spring, you know, it looks like this is the plan, but he was like, this is the date, they do this. It seemed very calculated to, like, why does he have it? But I don't know. I don't even know if he's fully retired or anything like that. But there was a lot of, like, well, if Plouffe is saying it, we're good to go. And, oh, yeah, no.
It's just so funny.
So here you go. Here's a tweet he just put 30 minutes ago. He says, you know what sucks about breaking news? I have stuff I want to promote, but if I do it now, people will think yesterday was all about getting eyes on my S. It really wasn't. I tweeted something out that was told to me by multiple people I trust, and that list has grown today.
Ha.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like that he's not pushing back on it. He's just like, I said, and I think I got more people saying it to me today, even though baseball is planning it, which is what we need. We need someone to tell the truth because baseball just doesn't want to for whatever reason. You know, the NBA hasn't made plans like this. The NFL doesn't have to yet because they're not in season. So it's just weird that the MLB is reacting to this situation way differently than pretty much anybody else. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the NHL. I'm sure there are rumors about when the NHL is going to get going. And, you know, the one thing I heard was they were planning on playing maybe in, like, you know, Minnesota or something, because there's so many rinks, or somewhere in Canada, which would make a lot of sense. But then you have the same issues with, you know, one spot quarantine that you would have that we've talked about in baseball with the Arizona plan. So who knows?
Yeah.
So
it is interesting. I didn't even know this. I find it nutty when I see this sometimes, but Trevor Plouffe is working for, do you know who John Boy is? John Boy Media. He works for, you know, this dude who was breaking down all of the Yankees videos and stuff. And he also said it's a little bit Jay Glazer-y in that report that he said yesterday or on Monday. It said, you know, I just heard from multiple sources, June 10th, spring training 2 will start. July 1st will be opening day, and they'll all be playing at their home ballparks. He also says they'll talk about it on the next Talkin' Baseball podcast. So he's got a podcast, which I don't. He did do an episode, but this happened after that episode, so it must be the next one that they're going to drop. He'll talk about it, but he's already him coming to defense of the whole thing. That maybe says something, like where he's like, you know, hey, I want to promote stuff, blah blah blah, but you know, he's not backing down. This is a, you know, checkermark baseball player. Former baseball player who's saying, I tweeted something that I was told to me by multiple sources I trust, and that list keeps growing. So that means more people are telling him the same thing today, even though it's being refuted.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that we're actually getting some real behind-the-scenes stuff from what baseball's plan is. I'm, you know what, and I'm going to say that that's the plan until I hear real serious pushback on it. Like, and someone from Major League Baseball comes out and says, Trevor Plouffe is full of S, or, you know, their words, you know, people that are reporting this outside of the blah, blah, blah.
I mean, Heyman kind of did that. Heyman kind of did. He just said, like,
yeah, but Heyman leaked the rest of, or not Heyman, Passan leaked the rest of the crap. You know, they're all like, MLB is not using their sources for good. They're using it for, let's get a reaction, which I hate.
There's just a lot of open-lipped people right now that are just,
yeah,
you know, going on about this stuff. But
loose lips sink ships.
I believe that this is probably what they all want. And like I've said before, you're just waiting until something happens. You know, the country opens up and things are okay, or the country opens up and things go backwards. More places continue to open up. You know, they just need to watch what the KBO is doing, what type of fanfare, how are they doing, how is it procedurally working, are people accepting of it. The next, like, you know, two to three weeks is probably something of like a trial period for them to really try to hone in and figure out where they stand. How's the KBO done it? What are the states looking like? What do the numbers look like? They've got their plan in place. And that's why, you know, they could probably come out like May 28th and be like, hey, in, 11 days, we're going to start a spring training and blah, blah, blah. And everyone would be relatively good to go. Because though I will tell you, I guarantee 100% this will be leaked before baseball drops it. Like, this won't be a baseball mic drop where MLB sets it. This will be like, you know, Jeff Passan and then multiple other guys are confirming it. And then then it'll be like, you know, on a Tuesday, and then a Wednesday baseball will have an announcement, and this is what it is. It will be announced way before.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I just want them to give us a official plan. You know, like, look, the different stadiums aren't going to work. We're going to go to Arizona. We're going to do the Cactus and Grapefruit League stuff. We're going to include Texas in this and make it three divisions in three isolated spots. Whatever they're doing, I don't care. I don't care what the plan is. I just want to hear what the plan is, because all this floating of ideas is just aggravating the crap out of me. So, but you know what, the Welsh, I think that I should be paid by the NBA because they stole my idea.
What idea?
Well, they didn't really steal it. This is more the MGM pitched it to them. And
so
the NBA
stole your idea.
Yeah, MGM stole my idea. They pitched a massive quarantine zone idea to the NBA. The plan called for as many as 24 basketball courts to be built at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, which is home to the WNBA's Aces, UNLV's Thomas and Mack Center, which hosts the NBA's annual Summer League, which was also a possible site to play games. And they said that any person entering the integrated resort would have to go through agreed health, safety, and quarantine protocols. So they'd have to go through proto, of course, the Welsh.
Got to follow proto
here. But basically it was they're going to take the MGM Grand, which, you know, isn't open now anyway and not making any money, fill it with NBA players and the Mandalay Bay, and just play games there.
When was
there,
this your
and
idea?
They stay
I
at
don't
the
remember
casinos.
This being your idea.
This was my idea. This is the same thing as Baseball Town. This is the same thing as the Arizona plan. Get everybody in one spot and quarantine them.
UFC Island?
Yeah, UFC Island. It's the same. It's all the same idea.
I don't remember you wanting them to all play in Vegas. And I remember a hotel thing, but I don't remember you being like, they should go to Vegas and there's lots of basketball courts and they'll stay in one hotel.
I said Vegas because they do the summer league there. I did say Vegas. It was a long time. I mean, I didn't, you know, put through the idea really, but I feel like I had the quarantine idea before anybody else did, because I said, let's just create, you know, 15 little baseball stadiums in Montana and have them all go stay there. Take all their families. That's fine. There's plenty of space in Montana. It's going to be nice and warm there. It's not going to be cold really soon. And go play baseball there. That's fine. Do it in Alaska. I don't care. Just do it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same idea. I don't know. The NBA has said that they don't want to move players away from their home cities. So I don't see this being a real solution or
it's
something
not,
that could ever happen.
You know, one thing I can point out in kind of finishing it, we only have about like a minute and a half here, but in our conversation of kind of, you know, it's not just baseball, it's all the sports, but MLB is highly put to it. This is a prime example right here of why, you know, that specific plan would have a hard time too. Our buddy John Gambadoro, who I've said this many times before, when he comes out with some of this type of stuff, it's usually because it's an inside source telling him, and he'll kind of say this is, you know, like this is the news, and it'll be someone specifically. He's friends with a lot of GMs and stuff. He said, if the MLB does return, I hear it is highly unlikely the Arizona plan or the Arizona-Florida plan would work. Too much opposition and not enough buy-in. And I think the same thing holds true to a Vegas idea. I mean, Vegas is run by a bunch of idiots, though, too. But, like, maybe they'd have a little bit easier time. But, you know, like Arizona specifically, there is political opposition. There's not enough financial buy-in from places. So if Arizona with baseball is going to have that, I think basketball would have the exact same thing with Vegas. There would just, right. Because also, it's not like Vegas would just be closed this entire time. If they do this, there'd be a point where it opens back up. There's more people there in lower condensed areas making bad decisions. I don't know. I think that puts players at more of a risk being in Vegas, especially if Vegas is being opened while this is happening.
Well, I think this is just like, NBA. The NBA would have to pay to rent out probably both the MGM and the Mandalay Bay, for 3 months. So, in the next however long they're going to be closed, I don't know how long the Nevada order is for, but, they would have to pay up front. So, it'd basically be like they're making, probably a month's worth of revenue over those 3 months, what they'd normally get with all the casinos and stuff being
open. It's an idea. The ideas are being run around. Whatever they're doing, they're stealing Bogman's ideas. So, all right, don't go anywhere. We got one more segment right here in this league.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Final segment right here on In This League over on the Sports Grid. If you guys want, come and check us out. InThisLeague.com takes you to our Patreon. Sign up. Get all the perks. Get all the extra stuff. There's lots of live streams and old podcasts. I say old, but like our comedy podcast, 75 Deep. New ones coming up here soon. And a whole bunch more, rank lists, all that type of stuff. And you are directly supporting.
Aren't we going to have to talk about murder hornets and UFOs on the next one?
100. I don't know about UFOs, but we can. We could talk about the declassification of the UFOs. Actually, it's a good idea because I have something I want to pair with that. Murder hornets for sure. There's actually a video. I haven't watched it yet, but there's some YouTube dude who let one of the murder hornets sting him or bite him.
Is it the guy that always does it? Because there's a show where some dude I saw him. He was out here in Arizona and he got, do you know what a tarantula hawk is, the Welsh?
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Yeah, he let a tarantula hawk sting him and it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, it might be. I mean, it's a YouTube dude. It's a, he's a YouTube dude and he's getting bit. So I'm assuming this is his bit. This isn't like Logan Paul. I think that's what I thought you meant for a minute.
No.
This guy's bit
this
probably
This guy was
is.
On, like, Discovery or some one of those channels.
Yeah, he wears, he looks like every naturist looks like. You know, they've got, like, some leather, hat.
Khaki pants on.
Yeah, exactly. Khaki pants with, a dark green button-up shirt. And then they've got, some leather cowboyish-looking hat or, Crocodile Dundee-looking hat type of thing. And we'll probably have to talk about that for sure. And definitely they could pick any better name than, Murder Hornet. Like any other thing. And they're still running with it, too, 100%.
Well, I mean, they call them that because they've killed people with their sting, number one. And number two is apparently what they do is they just lop the heads off of honeybees.
Yeah, they just wreck shop, 100%. Yeah, and there's I open up Twitter. There's a thing right here about the way Japanese bees deal with murder hornets is just brutal but satisfying. I guess I'm watching
a
video.
They cook them, yeah. So they all gather up around it and move their wings or their butts or something so fast that it heats up the area that the murder hornet is in and it cooks them to death.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
Nature is just brutal.
Damn, nature, you scary. Remember the Family Guy show?
Brutal. And I mean, murder hornets are just like, I'm just watching this hornet just straight up just absolutely just ate a bee. Like
just decapitated.
Yeah, and now all the bees are just going on him. This is a horrible video I'm watching. This needs to stop. Yeah, they're just like the serial killers of nature.
Yeah.
It's a really horrible experience, actually.
like a bunch of John Wayne Gacy's can fly.
Yeah. So it's a good time. It's a good time in society right now. Yeah. Everyone's
making those memes like people are less afraid of coronavirus. Release the murder hornets. Release the murder hornets.
Life is fun right now. Yeah. It's just one good piece of news after the other. And, you know, hey, virus is going to kick back up.
Hey, at least the asteroid didn't come crashing into us like everybody thought it was going
to. Yeah. Well, if you watch if they did like a video and they're like, this is how close, like if you only look at that, you're like, oh my God, that's the closest thing. The thing like looked like it was going to hit Earth and it was like 3 million miles away or something. And it's like, I always get, that's something I get lost in whenever I watch anything on like, you know, Discovery or something, especially the space shows, and you hear like Neil deGrasse Tyson or somebody talk, and they're like, well, relatively young, like 10 billion years old, and it's like, you and I have differential ideas between time and distance and stuff like that. Like, I guess in the grand scope and scheme of like 3 million miles is close, or 10, you know, million years is relatively young,
there
or
might
whatever
be satellites that are, you know, within that range.
I don't know, dude, but all I know is like, let's talk in terms that we like understand. And what I understand
is, have you ever seen the space junk map? The map
of
all the satellites
crap
and stuff
that's just like floating around in orbit.
Right. So it looks like there's so much stuff, but when you look out at the sky, you can't see any of it because it is so far spaced apart. And like the map that they make, it's like, yeah, well, a satellite's not the size of Utah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just can't see it. It's so small out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I need things to be like actually close and actually not that long ago. Like, you know, 100 years is like, that's kind of close.
Oh, no.
Not like a million years.
Are you the guy that says the Earth is only 12,000 years old?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like when we sit here and we have, I'm not saying that at all. Give me a break. When we have the conversation about how far off something is, they're like, well, it's relatively young. You know, we still, it's only 10 billion years away. And it's like, all right, man, I don't know what to tell you. Like that's so far
close,
away.
That's 45 light years away.
Yeah. It's all super, super far. Yeah. Light years. It's too much for my stupid brain to like I can process it, but to like, you know, really be able to function with it.
I mean, I'm over here confused by air yards. So, you know, getting confused by.
Have you not accepted air yards yet?
As my Lord and Savior? No, I have not.
Okay,
so.
Just trying to figure out and make sure, because air yards are they're quite the rage right now in analyzing players, Bogman.
Yeah, I mean, I know what it is. It's just like, this is what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
That's surface level, Boggs. Can't be too surface level, as we found out. You talk about the things that we count, like yards and touchdowns. You're doing it wrong. You're kind of lame, actually. You got to get deeper.
Still, my best shot that I've ever had at someone was, but his F war is blah blah blah. Oh yeah, playing a lot of F war leagues, do you?
Yeah, there's a dude that it's like MLB Random Stats or one of those guys. They started a war league on FanTrax with like people, and I was just like, I want Bogman in that more than anything.
Yeah, someone was like, well, we actually do have F4. How do you like them apples? And I was like, I don't like them at all.
I don't like you either. I don't like that you're doing this. Like, don't do that. Like, it's not okay, and it's not fun. War is also is the biggest it feels like it's people's biggest mic drop thing, too. I saw Jared Carrabas from Barstool, big Red Sox guy. I'd actually be interested in your take on this. He wrote a tweet. It was like, you know, happy Nomar Garcia Parra Day, whatever. And he was making the argument that the best shortstop of the late 90s, which is kind of a lame argument a little bit, but still, was Nomar Garcia Parra. And he did a 1997 to 2003 comparison of Garcia versus Jeter. And to be fair, he had like homers and triples and RBIs and OPS, but WAR was in there. Nomar won like every single category, batting average, everything except for like singles, and Nomar took that. What's your take, Nomar or Jeter?
I mean, in that time span, probably Nomar. I was a huge Nomar fan back in the day, and I met him, and he was super nice. So one of the very few guys where, you know.
Did you really?
I met him, and he was super, super nice. Yeah, he was. He was here in February. It's like right before spring training. So I think he was here with some buddies or something. They came to my grocery store and they were buying squirt guns. Like little crappy grocery store squirt
like
guns.
Like he was?
Yeah. I don't know what.
How many
for.
Did he
I
buy?
I have to ask him. They're like three or four of them.
Well, so, maybe just for his kids.
Yeah, could have been. I don't know. But and also, you know, the Red Sox never did spring training out here in Arizona either.
But he was with the Dodgers for a bit, though.
Yeah, but this I don't think
I don't think we're here either, actually, about that time.
Yeah, and that was like 2000, and he was definitely, I think he was still on the Red Sox in 2000, wasn't he?
Just like maybe this is like a vacation or maybe a little summer home for him.
Yeah,
home?
It could have been. Like I said, it was definitely February. So, but who knows? Anyway, what about Alex Rodriguez? He only compared him against the Yankee. He didn't compare him against A-Rod.
Yeah, well, because he also did the whole like he was the best shortstop in this time in the AL East. It's not close, and I mean he does it to rile up. He's a Red Sox account, so he's there to rile up the Yankee guys and get them all worked up. And you know,
when
the
was
Jeter.
It was between what years did you say?
97 and 2000. Let me pull it up real quick. I'll give it to you. It was 97 and 2003. Let me pull up Corrales.
There's no way they beat A-Rod in there.
You think so? Pull up A-Rod for me real quick. While
I got
up.
A-Rod.
Okay, so hold on. I'll give you. Where the hell is Carrabas's? I can't keep. Oh, there you go. Can't keep all these people's names together. All right, Carrabas, B-Boo-B. Here we go. All right, 97 to 2003. Are you able to filter it like that?
Yeah, I'm looking on Baseball Reference right now.
Okay.
Because it makes it easier.
But are you able? Did you? Because you're going to need to.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, because I've got it.
This is not average. This is adding, right?
Well, this is Nomar versus Jeter. We're going to have batting average over that time, slugging, OPS. So you're going to have to sort it from 97 to 2003. That's the
only I think
way
to I got it here.
Okay, ready?
So 97 to 2003?
Yep.
Okay.
And then we'll compare Jeter to, or we'll compare A-Rod to these two.
All right. Ready? A-Rod's
okay,
war.
Hold on. Yeah, war is 41.1 went to Nomar. So where's A-Rod?
54.8.
Okay, so point for A-Rod. Batting average went to Nomar versus Jeter at 325.
I gotta move up here to do that. So give me just 1 second. 97 to 2003. Batting average, you said, was what?
325 for Nomar.
304.
Okay, so Nomar takes it. Slugging, Nomar beat Jeter 557.
585 for A-Rod.
Okay, so A-Rod gets it. OPS, Nomar had it, and it was 929.
967 for A-Rod.
All right. Do you have OPS plus?
Yes.
Nomar at was 135. Nomar was. All right. Jeter won the singles at 990.
I don't have singles on here.
Do you have doubles or triples?
I had doubles and triples.
Doubles went to Nomar at 270.
225.
Okay.
For A-Rod.
Triples, Nomar 44.
19 only for A-Rod. Right.
Homers, this is going to go to A-Rod. Nomar had 169.
304.
All right. Total bases, Nomar had 2,075.
2,451.
All right. RBIs, Nomar with 653.
846.
I mean, and then I don't know if you can calculate this last one, but he did top, and I think this is the ultimate one that's going to piss people off. He didn't have stolen bases on this list because it probably went to Jeter. So that's probably
why he didn't use it. Yeah, probably. Right.
And you don't see runs on here either, which would have went to Jeter. But he has top 10 MVP finishes, which is probably lame because I think Jeter won at least two in there. And did Nomar even win one? But he says Nomar had five top 10 MVP finishes from 97 to 2003. How is
A-Rod ninth, third, sixth, second, and won it in 2002. So he also had five. Or one in 2003, so he also had five top 10.
I mean, so we've kind of dispelled it. Like, Nomar, I mean, A-Rod was the best of all of them.
I mean, A-Rod was also on Super Juice, so,
He was okay, the best. That's a fair point. He was an absolute massive cheater on steroids and stuff
it's
like that.
It's just when we think of late 90s shortstops, my brain doesn't first go to Nomar, even though he's amazing.
And when did A-Rod take
definitely a better person.
And when did A-Ron?
A-Ron?
When did A-Rod make the move to third base?
I'm not 100% sure. Let me see. He's 2004.
So this was right after this. So after he was theoretically the best shortstop in that time that was laid out here.
He played 3 years in Texas where he was shortstop, all of them. And then his first year in New York, he played shortstop and third, also the second year, and then the third year in New York, he only played third base.
So two of these years were in New York, 2001?
No. 2003 was his last year in Texas. So okay. He played 3 years in Seattle, 3 years in Texas, and that's span.
Okay. Yeah, and Kravis' original tweet is quite simply the best shortstop in the AL East in the late 90s, early 2000s, happy Nomar days. So that was the pick at Derek Jeter. But that was actually kind of fun to compare A-Rod against, because you forget how good Nomar was. And Nomar was really good, and, you know, he fell off a proverbial cliff that Jeter didn't quite do. So it almost feels like they don't stand in the same class.
Right.
But he absolutely did.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jeter was also winning World Series, and Nomar never got a World Series. Jeter played his whole career for the Yankees, you know. Nomar ended with the Dodgers, and A-Rod was all over the damn place and then, you know, suspended and stuff like that. So didn't play all of 2014 and came back 2015, 2016. So, you know, A-Rod was really good, but he was also juiced up. And I mean, it almost feels like everyone in that era was juicing, but it didn't seem like Nomar was. I mean, but D. Gordon also got caught with it, who knows?
When was the end of – I'm having a lapse in, like, when did the end of the steroid stuff happen? Like, did all of the stuff come out? Was it, like, 2009,
8? Yeah, I think it was 2003 was really when they start. Yeah, okay. So while steroids have been part of baseball's banned substance list since 1991, testing for major league players did not begin until 2003. So testing started, a lot of the players stopped.
But when was all of the trials, like the Palmeiro, all the guys sitting on trial and the Balco reports, like, wasn't that more like 2000, between 7 and 2009? I'm going to see.
Yeah, I think 2005, something like that.
Balco scandal. Because I'm just 2000. The trial began 2011. Okay, yeah, I did think it was later than that. So all the Balco stuff in 11. So it was like 2009, 2010 when stuff was.
But that was
popping
the Bond
off.
Stuff. The Mark McGuire. What was the date?
And you're right. Bond's conviction was overturned by a 10-1 vote of an Bannock panel of the U.S. Court's Ninth Circuit appeal. That's crazy.
Let me see. Mark McGuire.
This is the type of nostalgia we need. Let's stop dreaming
exactly
over our own
right
players.
Here.
Let's see when people were getting arrested and going to court.
Let's see. McGuire. Okay, yeah. So this was 3/18/2005. McGuire offers no denials at steroids hearing. So that was in 2005.
Okay. So
I remember that because I was living with my roommate, and that was also the year the Steelers won Super Bowl 40.
There you go. I like going back and thinking on all that stuff as nostalgia is going deep here. But we are out of here for now. More in this league on the daily right here on Sports Grid. So make sure you're subscribed and tune in. Thank you, guys. As always, you know where to find us. Talk to you guys again in the next episode. Peace.
See ya.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.